شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship and obedience except Allah. He's alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we ask Allah to raise the rank and the mention of our Prophet Muhammad, and to bless him and to grant him peace, along with his family, his companions, and all those who follow his guidance till the last day. And I ask Allah to bless you all for coming tonight, and I send Allah's peace and blessings upon you. And tonight is the regular Thursday night class that we have. I want to start with some good news. Sheikh Yusuf left. Well, it's good news in the sense that I'm more free to do things now, because I've been with him for the last 4 weeks, alhamdulillah, and it was great learning from him and benefiting and visiting different communities. I know all of you here, alhamdulillah, enjoyed when we came and visited. So I just wanted to give you that heads up that he did leave the city. But before he left, subhanAllah, a few things happened that I wanted to share with you. Number one, brother Najib here, he forwarded me an email by one of the brothers, Mujib, forwarded me an email by a brother who said he's been Muslim for 4 years. He does not come to this masjid. He goes to the Islamic Center in Reseda. And he just spilled his heart out, basically. He was saying how it's been tough on him, and he's feeling that it's difficult for him to practice Islam and so forth, and that he wanted to be, you know, in a community and so forth. So subhanAllah, that day, we happened to be in the Islamic Center of Reseda for Jum'ah. We came back in the afternoon, I saw the email, I sent him an email, I said, we're going to be there in the evening. So sure enough, we go in the evening, and I didn't know that he was there. The next day, he sends an email, he's like, I was in the crowd, but I didn't know who to go to. So, alhamdulillah, we had another program Sunday night, so I told him, well, make sure we hook up Sunday night. You know, I called him up on Sunday afternoon. And alhamdulillah, we hooked up. The good thing the brothers have over there is they established a da'wah and outreach community committee in the masjid and a mentorship program where some of the brothers who've been in Islam for a while will take care of a brother who's a new Muslim. So they'll spend time with them, they'll teach them, you know, they'll take care of them basically, generally, as a brother. Because, you know, when you come to Islam, you don't really have family, you don't have anyone, you're just kind of like starting as a newborn baby that was just thrown somewhere, but you're not a baby anymore, you're a grown adult. So it's kind of tough. So the community, the Muslims have to step up and take care of these brothers and sisters. So alhamdulillah, the brothers there, I know some of them. We hooked them up, alhamdulillah, with them. They had a dinner, so he was really happy. And I told him about a few programs that we're going to have. So I wanted to start with that. So subhanAllah, inshaAllah, the people healed will get the reward for that brother, you know, staying firm in the religion. Why? Because this masjid has a website. Maybe the website, not everyone is dealing with it. It's really the webmaster, Brother Mujib, may Allah bless him. But inshaAllah, Allah is generous, you know. So this brother contacts us, he has no clue who he's contacting. He just said, I need some help. And then alhamdulillah, Allah facilitated that he gets connected, inshaAllah, with the right people. So that's something nice that I wanted to share with everyone. And to remind us all that don't underestimate a good deed that you do. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. He says, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't ever underestimate something good that you do. Don't underestimate it. It can go a long way. So he gave an example for that, because people will be like, what do you mean underestimate? He says, don't underestimate it, even if when you meet someone on the street, you meet them with a nice smiley face. Don't underestimate that. I remember one of my teachers, and he's a brother from New York, and you know, he became Muslim 40 years ago. And so he says, one time he was walking on the street, and this big brother, didn't look like he's Muslim, just looking mean and upset. And my teacher looked at him and just smiled. I says, how you doing, man? So the other brother, the other guy, just started cursing him. So my teacher told him, you need a hug. And he went and he gave him a hug. My teacher's like, this guy's three times my size. My teacher's not too tall, you know. Even though he's American, he knows it all, but, you know, he felt awkward. So the brother went and gave him a hug. He went down like a giant, gave him a hug. And he started weeping, started crying. He says, brother, you know, that's the best thing that happened to me in 15 years. He's like, why? What happened? He's like, I just came out of the pen. He was incarcerated for all those years, and it's not fun inside. So he says, that's the best thing anybody's done to me. And sure enough, he walked up with him. He came to the masjid. I think they took care of him. They fed him a meal or something like that. So don't underestimate good actions. It goes a long way. That's just an intro. I didn't have this in my mind, but my teacher called me today. He lives in Medina, and he called me to check on me today. So he just told me, how you doing, and so forth. So alhamdulillah, I remembered him and remembered some of the wisdom that I learned from him. What I did want to mention is, I've been speaking about this for a few weeks now, whenever I came here. We spoke about the fact that right now, you know, it's the winter season, and it's the holiday season for a lot of the people who don't follow our tradition, the non-Muslims around us, whether they be our neighbors or our friends, sometimes our family members. Funny enough, this brother that sent the email, I told him, brother, we have a conference on the day of Christmas, on the 25th of December. He's like, what? I said, yeah, and I want you to go there. I said, I want to see you there. I'm inviting you personally. He says, brother, that's amazing. I said, why? He's like, that's my birthday. I said, okay, tell me the rest of it. He's like, well, my brother said he wants to cook me a dinner that night, and he wants me to come. But I'm like, you know, I don't celebrate birthdays because, you know, what are you celebrating in a birthday? You're celebrating yourself. It's almost like self-worship. He's like, I didn't want to have anything to do with that. So this is a good excuse. I said, but brother, I don't want you to, you know, damage your ties with your brother. He says, no, the dinner will be there. I'll come to the conference and then go home and have dinner with him. So a lot of the of course, I think winter break started for the schools, right?
Yeah.
There's no school now. Okay. Now, I'm not seeing too many people in school. I see four people right now. That's not enough. But five, there's one hiding. Where's number five? Why don't you come sit with me here, man? Sit next to me. Come up.
They're sneaking out.
No, I want you to come near me, over here to the heater. You look like you're cold. Come over here, man. Your friends are not going to keep you warm. I got a heater here. You know, it's good to get closer to each other, not to cause discomfort to anyone else. I think the mic just died.
No, the mic behind
you.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's back?
Yeah.
It's back on. Sorry, sisters. They killed the mic and we had to bring it back to life. So it's good, you know, when we're in a gathering of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to get close to each other. The tradition of the companions says that when they would sit with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, they would sit as if they were one body, one group. You know, they wouldn't really be spread out. And that's what he told them. He encouraged them to come closer to each other. And that way you concentrate more, because when you give distance, you start thinking about so many things. You look at the carpet and you see all the lint on the carpet, and you start thinking about crazy things. So when you get closer to each other, you only see the speaker and you pay more attention. So last Sunday, we had a youth program with Sheikh Yusuf as well in Orange County. And the brothers had requested that we speak about the true historical Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. The truth about him and what Muslims believe. And we broadcast that on Guidus TV. So I'm just going to summarize that up, because we're coming to the 25th of December, where many people claim that that's the birthday of Jesus the Christ. Well, we don't believe in that. In fact, most scholars of Christianity don't believe that that's the day. What happened was they decided to make that day a day of celebration because there was a religion before Christianity. It was called the Universal Roman Religion. And the head of that religion was the Emperor of Rome, if any of you studied history. And the Emperor of Rome thought that he was the Son of God. And the God that the Romans worshipped was the Sun. So it was the Sun God, and then he's the Son of God. So what does the 25th of December mark? It marks a day in the winter time where the sun is born. that's when the time starts changing again. It's almost like the beginning, the new coming of something. So, of course, if you did any study in Christian history, you realize that the Christians early on, the true believers of the Messiah, the Christ, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, were people who believed in Allah and worshipped him alone without any partners, and they were persecuted for their beliefs. And a lot of things happened, there was a lot of changes, and then the Roman Empire decided to make Christianity the state religion, the official religion of the state. So, but they did it with a twist. So the main tenets of true Christianity, which is Islam, to believe in one God and to worship Him and to follow the commandments, changed. And instead of God being, you know, the object of worship, it became God has three parts. He has a Son and there is the Holy Spirit. And of course the Son became Jesus, the Son of Mary. And there is a whole, you know, a whole bunch of fabrications that came about. But we leave that for another time. What the Sheikh did last week was amazing, because he started off by saying, you know, we're talking about Jesus. So he said, where do we get our information from? Because this is a historical character. Where do you get your information from? And he started speaking about the authenticity of information and the fact that you don't really have anything to prove that this individual existed except the Quran. So he tied it in. Why? Because the Quran is the only document throughout these ages that has not been altered or changed. All the other historical documents, they have issues in them. The actual manuscripts of Christianity and Judaism, which is called the Bible today, is not in the original language. It's not original anymore. It's been changed and altered. Of course, the early church, which are the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, were persecuted. A lot of them were killed. And the whole religion was kind of changed. And then, of course, they divided into different groups and so forth. So he brought about that the only way we believe in the existence of that character is through the Qur'an. And then of course he mentioned the miracle of the Qur'an and how it was preserved, and the truthfulness of Muhammad, the carrier of the message of the Qur'an sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fact that what's most important about the story of Isa alayhi salam is not when he was born, or where he was born, or how he was born. Even though all these things took place, he was born someplace on this planet, he was born sometime, and he was born in a miraculous way. We do believe in that. But what's important is the message that he brought. Why is Isa, Jesus, a special individual? Well, he's one of the best human beings to ever walk the face of the earth. And we believe in that in Islam. That's one of the main tenets of Islam. And he was a great, mighty messenger of Allah, God Almighty. And he came to guide people to the truth. And he had a miracle birth. He was born from a mother named Maryam, Mary in English. And we have a whole chapter dedicated to her name and her story. And then another chapter to her family, which is Ali Imran. The third chapter of the Quran is the family of Imran. Imran is the father of Maryam. So he is the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam from his mom's side. Because Isa did not have a father. Jesus, peace be upon him, did not have a father. That was the miracle and the challenge to the people. But when you really think of it, it's not really a big deal, because we know historically Allah had done a bigger miracle when he created the first man, Adam alayhi salam, peace be upon him. He did not have a father or a mother. And then he made another big miracle when he created Eve, Hawa. And he created her without a mother, and he created her out of Adam, which was the first man. So those are great miracles too. So the one who is able to do that, for sure is able to make a man from a mother with no father. The message of Isa alayhi salam was worship Allah alone without any partners. He came to the children of Israel to guide them, because they had changed the teachings of the prophets. And he came to tell them and to declare, go back to the original message. And that is the story of life. Allah Azza wa Jal sent messengers throughout humanity, throughout history, and throughout the lifespan of humanity to tell them, stop you've changed your original message on earth, your original mission. The mission of you guys is to worship your Creator and to obey His rules. So every few generations, Allah would send a messenger to remind the people, hey, go back, make a U-turn, you know, a spiritual GPS. You just lost the way. You're going astray. You're doing things that are not pleasing to your Creator. Go back to the original message. The original message was Allah created humanity and created everything on earth for humans to make it easy for them. And He told them, worship Me alone, without any partners, and follow the commandments. So that was the job of the messengers. Anyway, I thought it was very interesting the way the Shaykh, you know, elaborated on that whole thing and the way he, you know, he brought it about. What is it for us? What happens? You guys are in school. And I just, yesterday or we were, I took my family, my wife to the doctor, and some lady saw that we had a baby. And she's like, oh, cute baby, can I see it? How old is the baby? So nice, can I touch it? You know, and it's like, yeah, you can, go ahead. You know? And then as she walked off, she says, Merry Christmas. Right? And that's what people do. It's a nice gesture. They're trying to be friendly. But that word, we don't believe in that. You know, because...
Did you tell her that?
Excuse me?
Did you explain it to her?
Well, I just smiled and nodded, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, thank you. There's not enough time. And I can tell that she's not really American. I think she's... Her first language is probably Spanish. So I can't communicate with her, you know, in detail. But I said, thank you. That's the best way, just to answer thank you. Because if you reply back, it implies that you kind of believe in what they believe in. And they got weird beliefs. They believe God had a son on this day. So that's very dangerous, you know. So then the best thing is to be friendly. There's no doubt. You shouldn't be rude. And you should say, why are you telling me this? Don't you know who I am and what I believe in and so forth? You say thank you. If you have time, you can explain, you know. You can say, you know, I don't celebrate Christmas. But I do celebrate Jesus, peace be upon Him, as a great, mighty messenger of God. And you can take that opportunity to explain, you know, what your belief is. Now, that's with your friends and so forth. Now, on that day, as you know, you guys know, in this society, it's a great day where people come with each other, families come together. For the most part, in Western society, America in particular, the families are spread out. They might be spread all over the country. They might not see each other. They might not talk to each other. But the time of the holidays is when everybody comes together. And that's something very praiseworthy, that people actually come together and they spend time with each other and so forth. Of course, they use that as an excuse, that it's a religious holiday. Now, in that day, people get drunk, and they do things that have nothing to do with celebrating Jesus, peace be upon Him. So you have to keep that in the back of your mind. Just take the whole story in context. But that's what people do. What do Muslims do on that day? And how do we make it that our children don't feel left out? Especially the children. Maybe the adults are like, you know, it's just like any other day. It's not a big deal. We don't do it. It's not our culture. It's not our religion. But your kids, they have friends, and their friends are having fun. Santa Claus comes on that day, you know, and he has gifts and presents. So what do you do? How can you compete? What's amazing is Sheikh Yusuf last week, he started off the lecture by saying his story. He says he'll never forget the day when he was in fourth grade, and he came back home and he was upset. And he told his mom, Mom, some kids in school are saying Santa Claus is not real. And he thought that his mom is going to do what? Defend Santa Claus. And, you know, defend the institution of Santa Claus. So she told him, yeah, he's not. So he's like, oh no, my mom is with these bad people too. So, and the Sheikh always brings this up, and a lot of people who were raised with this, it really hurts them. Maybe the Muslims didn't feel that because they realize, hey, this whole thing is a fairy tale. But it really hurts a child that you've been raised with a certain thing and people tell you, this old man, he comes with presents and you got to go sit in his lap and you have a list and you send them email or you send them regular mail and he brings all your gifts and you have to be nice the whole year. And then the child comes and gets shocked one day, this thing is a lie. You know what happens? is he loses trust in everyone that spoke to him before. And who are the first people he loses trust in? His own parents that made up the whole lie. So Sheikh Yusuf was telling us last week, it's very important to be truthful. Especially with someone that's a child that doesn't know any better. When you're a child, you believe everything your parents tell you. It's only when you become adult where you're like, you know, I don't agree with everything my dad says. But as a child, you think your dad knows everything. So your dad is telling you, a fat man wearing all red comes down the chimney and he gives you gifts and puts them under a tree and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you realize this is a false story. It's all fabricated. It's all made up. It's not a fun experience for that child. So you have to be very careful when discussing these things with people who believe in it. You know? You have to be very careful with that. But for your own children's sake, I've been speaking about this for the last few weeks since I came back. Because I think I came back and it was Thanksgiving and we spoke about, you know, that we should do something fun with our family on that day. Not to celebrate what the people celebrate or people who have other traditions celebrate, but to make our own children feel like we take care of them. You know, and that's why we say during Eid, our two festivals in the year, it should be a time where the children celebrate and they value this day. This is a day where they get presents, where they get new clothes. It's not a normal day. You take them out and you have fun with them. I'm speaking to the adults here because the children can't really do much with that. And these young men are not really children. They're young men. You're almost there. A few years you have your own children. You know, but I'm speaking to the adults here because you all have children or will have children inshallah in the future. So you have to plan ahead what to do. What's your strategy? I'm bringing this up again. I was very impressed, alhamdulillah, and I think I spoke about it in my khutbah. And then Sheikh Yusuf spoke about it right before it took place. And this was the mass conference that took place in Thanksgiving weekend. Now, Islamic conferences, what happens is, it's an event. They rent out a big place, and they bring speakers from all over the country who are qualified to speak on certain topics. And it's a time where the Muslims can come together. Now, the advantage of having it in a national holiday is everyone is off of work. No one is really working. So you're hitting two birds with one stone. Or actually, multiple birds with one stone. The fact that it's a national holiday, so everyone is off, no one has the excuse, we have to go to work. Number two, you're bringing Muslims together. Number three, you're bringing people of knowledge together to teach the people their religion. Number four, you can take your family. It's a family outing. It's not just for adults or just for women or just for children. It's everyone takes part in it. So it's like you're celebrating it all together. Number five, you're not really depressed that the whole world is enjoying. Like Thanksgiving, everybody's eating turkey and you're stuck at home eating regular biryani. And you're like, that's not fun. Why can't I have turkey? You know? So when you do something with the Muslim community, you get to forget what everybody... Because you are doing your own celebration. So I spoke and I encouraged everyone. I don't know if anyone here ended up going to the mass conference. I was not able to go because that day I had to pick Sheikh Yusuf up from the airport. But I remember he spoke about it because we picked him up on Thursday, the day of Thanksgiving. He gave a khutbah here Friday and he spoke about it again. And he spoke about the importance of knowledge, where we get our information from, and he encouraged people to attend the conference. What I wanted to do today is to tell you, alhamdulillah, on the day of Christmas, something is special happening in Southern California. There is another conference happening. It's a one-day conference, the day of Christmas only, the 25th, on Sunday. The whole day, from 9 to 9, if not beyond that, I don't know. And it's going to be in Anaheim, in the Anaheim Hilton. In Orange County, right next door to Disneyland. Some people will celebrate Mickey Mouse. We're going to celebrate something else. We're going to celebrate knowledge. The conference is called Ilm Fest, which is basically, Ilm is the word for knowledge in Islam. And it's brought to us by Al Maghrib Institute, which is an innovative method of teaching Islamic studies designed for people in the West. And the nice thing is, usually, and this is the complaint I had growing up, that when we come to the masjid, or we listen to a khutbah, either the person, because he's just volunteering, we don't have paid clergy, because the communities are weak, they're not self-sufficient, and the communities really are kind of new. But when you're a youngster, you're coming into the masjid, your parent, your dad probably brought you, you're not really interested in what's happening, And then you get turned off. Why? Maybe the speaker doesn't speak perfect English, right? And for the kids, that's a big turnoff. Maybe for the adults, you know, it's like, okay, we're just here to worship Allah. We don't care who the speaker is. He's doing a service. May Allah reward him. But for the young people, it's a big turnoff because they're like, what is he talking about? You know, and that's if his English is broken. But let's say he doesn't even speak English and he's speaking in Arabic or Urdu or Bangla or something. And you're like, wow, I need to go back to school or something because it's not fun. So that is the only time where we can learn something about Islam is in the masjid. The masjid, or we come to the maktab in the evenings, and it might be the same thing. So one good thing we have now is there is a lot of young people who were born and raised in America that Allah blessed to go overseas or in America and study Islam. They became learned people in Islamic studies. And one of these, you know, organizations is Al-Maghrib. Al-Maghrib's instructors, you know, they come from different backgrounds. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed them. A lot of them are graduates from Medina University, the same university I go to. I'm one of these people. I'm not Al-Maghrib Institute, you know, I don't represent them, but I'm telling you because it's almost like first-hand experience. One of their instructors, for example, is Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick. This man is amazing. He has a PhD in history. He was the first American graduate from Medina University. He graduated in 1979. He went there in 73. He's older than everyone in the crowd here. He's about 60. I don't know if we have anyone over 60. But he's in his early 60s. So he's one of their instructors. So this is a man, he became Muslim in Canada in 1960. He became Muslim. 1970. Guess who gave him shahada? No. Sheikh Yusuf was a non-Muslim at that time.
Non-Muslim. Muhammad Ali.
No. Did you hear of a man from Southern California named Dr. Ahmed Saqar?
Ahmed Saqar, yes.
Yeah. Ahmed Saqar, in an MSA conference in 1970, look at the advantage of conferences. Why am I mentioning this? This is not an advertisement. Because it can be a life-changing experience for someone. And I started off by saying, don't underestimate something good that you do. Don't underestimate something good that you do. So in 1970, in Toronto, Canada, MSA, the Muslim Student Association, had a program, a conference. One of the speakers was Dr. Ahmed Saqar, who's in Walnut now. And Abdullah Hakim Quick was a non-Muslim at that time, an African-American brother who had, you know, left America and went to Canada because at that time there was the Vietnam War and they were drafting people by force, and he just left at that time. So some Muslims told him, hey, we have a conference. Don't underestimate a good deed. He went to the conference. He listens to Dr. Ahmed Saqar. Ahmed Saqar is very persistent, he says. And in the end of the sitting, he convinced him, he made his shahada.
Same time.
He'd been reading about Islam earlier, because he was mixing with Muslims from the Indian subcontinent. I think he said Pakistanis in particular. And you know, they were discussing religion and so forth. This man, subhanAllah, became the first American graduate in Medina University. In Medina University, we've had many Americans go, but most of them can't last. You guys, a lot of you know, you're from the East. It's not easy for people there to survive, especially if they're Americans. So most Americans who go overseas don't make it in these programs. They can't make it in the madrasas, they can't make it in the universities, in Azhar, you name it, any institution. We, as Westerners, we have a very bad track record because it's very difficult. So he, Allah blessed him to become the first ever American graduate. Alhamdulillah, he came back to Toronto. He did a master's and a PhD in history. He's been serving the community. He was imam when he graduated in Los Angeles in 1981. He was imam in Masjid al-Mu'min. You know Masjid al-Mu'min?
Yeah.
He was imam there in 1981 for 1 year. And then he went to the Caribbean. Then he went to Canada. He went to South Africa. And now he's back in America. He's originally from Boston, Massachusetts. That's just one example of the instructors in Al-Maghrib Institute. But more importantly, he's coming on the day of Christmas. And he's going to be speaking about something very important in these times. He's going to be speaking about the Occupy movement, the protests happening all over the world, what is the Muslim role in this? The subject behind the conference is called قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful. This is the opening verse, the opening ayah of Surah Al-Mu'minun. We have a surah in the Quran, a section in the Quran, a chapter, number 23, called Al-Mu'minun, the believers. In the first 11 ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal describes the believers. He gives them certain attributes. This conference on the 25th of December is going to be dedicated to explaining why are the believers successful and how can we gain success. So of course, the believers are successful. Allah Azza wa Jal says why. How can we gain success? How can we be true believers? The way Allah Azza wa Jal intends for us to believe. I'll read these ayats so we can benefit from it inshaAllah. I'll just briefly read the English meaning, but I'm not going to ruin the program. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. We seek refuge and protection in Allah from the cursed devil. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. For sure, the believers are successful. They're the ones who perform the prayers in humble submission. They're the ones who turn away from evil speech. And they are the ones who observe zakah, which is the obligatory charity, and it's the purification of wealth and of body and of soul. And they who guard their private parts, except from their wives, their spouses, or those except for their spouses, they will not be blamed, because that's their lawful, you know, it's lawful to have relations, intimate relations with your spouse. But whoever seeks beyond that, beyond what's lawful, then those are the transgressors. And the believers are those who are to their trusts and their promises attentive. They keep their promises and their trusts. And they who carefully maintain their prayers, those are going to be the inheritors. What will they inherit? They will inherit Al-Firdaus, which is the highest part of paradise. They will abide in it eternally forever. Surah number 23, Al-Mu'minun, the believers. We all claim to be that. We ask Allah to accept us as that. But I think it's a great opportunity for us to learn why are these people successful and how can we be from amongst these people and how can we attain success. So I'm inviting everyone here individually. I'm going to take my whole family, personally. Even though, you know, I'm supposed to be someone who has spent about 10 years studying Islam, and I'm supposed to know the answers, but it's not enough. We always need the reminder. And realize, just like you came here, I'm very happy that you come here consistently. When you go to learn Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal promises you that this is your key and your door and your path to paradise. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, it's not narrated that he was asked to increase in anything. He didn't ask Allah to give him more wealth or to give him more children or to give him anything. In the Quran, he was only ordered to ask for more of one thing, which is ilm, knowledge, sacred knowledge, knowledge of Islam. Where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Muhammad, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. So knowledge of Islam is very praiseworthy. The virtues of it are plenty. I have the book here, Riyadh al-Salihin, and the chapter here is the book of knowledge, virtues of knowledge. So the virtues are many. The verses in the ahadith are many. The verses in the Qur'an, the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ are many, speaking about the benefit of sacred knowledge. And the benefit, first and foremost, is so you know how to live your life. Because we're indeed misguided if Allah does not guide us. That's why we have to ask Him constantly for guidance. And how can we be worshipping Allah? We realize, okay, worshipping Allah is our purpose of life. How do you worship Him when you don't know how to do it? That's just like making a fool out of yourself. We ask Allah to protect us from that. So when we have an opportunity to learn Islam, take advantage of it. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Whoever takes a path, seeking knowledge in it, Allah will make a path easy for him to go to paradise. So when you came today to the masjid, you intended to pray in congregation and great, and you intended to attend a circle of learning, a circle of remembrance where you learned some part of your deen. This path, inshallah, if you're sincere, this is a path that will end you in paradise. You should have no doubt about it. Don't underestimate the good things that you do. You're like, Thursday night, what can I do? Well, there's Thursday night football. You know, I can go out, I can chill, I can waste my time somewhere else. But you decided to spend that time in learning Islam to benefit. Even if you know the information. I don't think I mentioned things that are brand new to any of you. We remind each other as believers. That's the job of the believers. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ They encourage each other to learn the truth and to act upon the truth and to be patient and persevering upon the truth. That's the job of the believers. You do that to me, I do that to you. So alhamdulillah, we have an opportunity for us to take our families on Christmas Day, which is a Sunday. No one should be working that day. Take the day off, take your family and go to Anaheim. Be with other Muslims. There's going to be about 2,000 Muslims. Their intention is to learn Allah's deen. So this is not like a conference of culture, you know, because we have some like that. You know, we have such and such country day, such and such country day, where we go to, people go to celebrate their culture, their traditions. But this is to celebrate success in this life and in the next. How can we be successful? You know, what are the tools, what are the keys, and how can we implement them in our lives? And if you heard the ayat, we're going to speak about, they're going to speak about. Why are the believers successful? What is the connection between prayer and success? What's the connection between charity and success? What's the relation between chastity, protecting your private parts from things that are forbidden, and success? What is the relationship between keeping your trusts and your promises and success? And why will you attain paradise if you keep all these things? That's what we're going to be learning, inshallah. So I highly encourage everyone to take advantage of this opportunity. The speakers, I spoke about one of them, Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick. We're going to have another brother, his name is Dr. Waleed Basuni. This man is also special. He was raised in Saudi Arabia, and he's been here for 15, maybe more years. He's originally Egyptian. And, you know, he memorized the Qur'an and he studied. He's got a PhD in Islamic theology. And he's been teaching, you know, Islam for many, many years. And again, the advantage is you're speaking to people who are qualified in the field that they are talking about. A lot of times, this is a reality. This is a complaint that people have. Even the people themselves. Sometimes the people are like, brother, there's no one else to give the khutbah but me. I'm not qualified, but I'm giving the khutbah. I feel bad. So when you have an opportunity where people are qualified and they're speaking in their own field, go take advantage of it. Don't waste it. Take the youth who are turned off of Islam because they're like, the imams don't even know how to speak English, man. So take them. That's a good gift for them. Let them go and see Americans like them who were raised in this country, who are successful in this life, and they're knowledgeable in Islam. Let them benefit. You have Yasir Qadhi. Yasir Qadhi went to Medina University. He graduated in 2000. Before he came to Medina University, he had a degree in chemical engineering. And now he's finishing his PhD in Yale University in religious studies. And he teaches theology in Tennessee, in a seminary there. You have a brother named Abdul Yasir is originally from the Indian subcontinent, Pakistani. from Houston, Texas. You have Abdul Bari Yahya, who was here last week in Reseda Masjid. This brother was born in Cambodia. Look at the beauty of Islam. Dr. Quick, African American, who has European and Native American and African American in him. Then I said, Waleed Basuni, Arab, Yasir Qadi, Desi, Abdul Bari Yahya, Cambodian, from the Cham community. You know there's the Cambodian Muslims, they're called Cham. They used to have their own history. So he also studied in Medina in the 90s, and then he went to Cambodia, established an Islamic school, and now he's in Seattle, Washington. Who else? There's brother Muhammad ibn Faqih, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Faqih, he's the Imam in Orange County. He also has origins from Hadramaut in Yemen and Ethiopia. And he studied in Virginia in the Islamic University there. And he's been Imam here for many years in Orange County and Anaheim, Masjid Umar al-Faruq, if any of you are familiar with it. And I think there's two people who are specialized in Quran. Sheikh Uthman Khan from Canada. And he's one of the people, he's known all over the world, but especially in the West, for having the shortest chain of narration to the Qur'an. You know, because when you learn the Qur'an, if you learn it properly, you have to have a chain from you to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he can count his teachers all the way to the Messenger, and he actually gives people ijazat, which is he gives them permission to learn the Qur'an properly and to recite it properly, the way it was recited from Allah to Jibreel to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way to our day. And also brother Wissam Sharif, these two are specialists in Quranic recitation. And who else? I think that's, I'm maybe missing. Oh, there's Kamal Mekki. He's also Sudanese originally. He was raised in the East Coast. No, he's not. He's not coming to that. Anyway, so those are some of the instructors that will be there. I highly encourage all of you to go. I wish that, inshallah, the brothers and sisters are able to go there. I personally, I'm going to go. So I would love for everyone else to go, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us that none of you will believe until they love for their brothers and their sisters what they love for themselves. So I love for myself to be successful. That's why I'm taking my family. And I love for all of you to be successful as well. And I'm going to remind you, number one, don't underestimate good deeds. So you might say, a conference one day, what is it going to change? It might be a life-changing experience. Maybe not for you, but for your family members. Maybe the children that you're afraid are going to lose Islam. And I've seen many of these children around here. And Sheikh Yusuf, that's what he was speaking about last week. Because the event was the importance of Islamic education for our Muslim youth here in America. So the Sheikh is like, people all over the world are calling me in the Muslim world, and they're telling me, we want you to come over. You know, in Pakistan and Tunisia and all these countries, you know. They're like, we want you to come over. He's like, yeah, well, you guys have your own scholars. They're like, yeah, but we're losing our children. They're leaving Islam. So since you talk to non-Muslims about Islam and they become Muslim, we want you to come talk to our children to keep them in Islam. So it's an opportunity for you to explain Islam, not individually, but indirectly. Have someone who's qualified, who speaks perfect English or good English. Some of them speak perfect English. Some of these brothers have some, you know, they're not perfect because they weren't born in America. That's the only reason. One of them is Sheikh Yasir Barjas too. He's originally from Palestine, and he studied in Medina in the 90s as well, alhamdulillah. And he was Imam in Texas for many years. Anyway, so I want to encourage you all to go. Remember chapter, surah number 23, Al-Mu'minun, the believers. Remember the virtues of knowledge. And you can go and register online if you're interested. The website is ilmfest, ilmfest.com. That's the website to register. The tickets for the conference, tickets are $25 for a seat to go in, because they rented the venue. It's the Anaheim Convention Center, the Anaheim Hilton. So they had to pay for that. So that's the reason why you're going to pay. But it's something very minimum, 25. There's going to be, you know, halal catering in there, in the situation. There will be babysitting if you have small children and you're afraid. Because some brothers are like, I can't take my wife because we have small children. Well, there's babysitting available. So don't worry about that. What else is there? It's a whole day event, so plan ahead of time. $25 if you register ahead of time or buy your ticket ahead of time. And then $35 at the door. if you decided last minute. Ilm Fest, it's brought by Al Maghrib Institute. I brought some tickets. If anyone wants tickets, I can give you a ticket, inshallah, tonight before you leave, whether it's the brothers or the sisters. It's $25 a piece, inshallah ta'ala. I wish that all you are able to make it. If not, you know a new Muslim, like that brother, I told him to go to a conference and we gave him a ticket. You know, and I want him to be there because it's gonna be very important for them to stay firm. You know, to see all these Muslims only for one reason, to worship Allah, to gain success in this life and the next is very important. So maybe you're like, you know, I'm busy, I'm working that day or something like that. Buy it for someone else. And don't underestimate, you know, what something like that, what kind of impact it can have. But especially for your families who are going to feel left out on that day where they wake up and you don't have a Christmas tree and Santa didn't come and there's no presents. Now that's if you're a good Muslim. But if you're a Muslim who is not really practicing Islam and is imitating the people that are not Muslim, then you're lying to your children and telling them Santa Claus and you got a Christmas tree and you're bringing them gifts and stuff like that. So you're making your children live in lies. And that's not good. So my alternative to you is success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The believers are indeed successful. I'm done. If anyone has any questions or comments, inshallah.
I think so. I don't know. It's not my phone. So.